Parshas Lech Lecha, we see that Vayovo Yapolit Vayagil Avram Ivri Kinish Ba'achiv. Oig came to tell Avram Avinu Kinish Ba'achiv. Why is he called Avram Ivri? Say Chazal, Shekola Oilam Hayo B'tzad Echad Vehu Me'Ivri Hasheni. Avram Avinu was on the other side of the world. He didn't care about what everybody did. He did his thing. And even though the entire world was on one side, Vehu Hayo Me'Ivri Hasheni, Machnesh Tais. That's Avram Avinu, and that's the Roish Umas Klal Yisrael, the Tchuna that Avram Avinu had. We see that in the parasha also. It says that he mauled himself Be'etam Hayom Hazeh. Chazal say, why does it say Be'etam Hayom Hazeh? Anytime that it says Be'etam Hayom Hazeh, is that even though there was other people that said, we're going to stop you when I see you doing it, we're going to stop you. Like when it says by Noach that he came Be'etam Hayom Hazeh Mitzrayim, they left Be'etam Hayom Hazeh. It says by Moshe Rabbeinu also, famous verse from Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, that Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter be'etam hayom hazeh, because people said that we're going to stop it. He says, I don't understand, Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, but Maimar Muzger, Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz says, we understand what they said when he gets to the Teva, that we're not going to let him go into the Teva. We'll tackle him, we'll make sure he doesn't go inside. Mitzrayim, we understand what they said, we're not going to let him do it, be'etam hayom hazeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to take him out be'etam hayom hazeh to show you can't stop him. What would they do? They're slaves, we'll stop them from coming out. By Avram Avinu, we'll pull away the knife. He's in his 80s already. He's not going to be able to overcome us. What were they going to do by Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu, when it's time for Moshe Rabbeinu to be nifter, we're not going to let it happen. Because Baruch Hu says, I'm going to take him, Ezem Yom Hazeh, all the Lahar Nevoi, and he's going to be nifter. What were they going to do exactly? Tackle him? What were they going to do? Says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, no, they were going to daven. And the tefillah could stop the gzera. They weren't going to let it happen. But Avram Avinu, Ezem Yom Hazeh, that means that even though there was everybody wanted to stop him, and everybody thought maybe he was doing something which was dangerous, especially somebody his age, nevertheless he did it. Avrom mitzad echad v'kol ha'olam ye'ivra hasheni. Be'etam, that's the tchuna that he was meirish to everybody else. Ma'is always, the Ramban in this expression says, by the Gimel Beris, the Chfiris HaBeris, that a lot of the stories that are mentioned throughout these parashiyos is al ma'is always simul abanim, the Gimel Beris is the Gimel Batim Mikdashim, and you are able to see from what happened to the Avos what's going to happen to the children. I would say maybe also Aderach Drush that Ma'is Avos Simul Abanim means that what the Tchunais, the Ma'isim, the Midois that were done, that the Avos had is a simin what Midois the Banim have also. Because the Tchuna of the parent goes to the child. The story of Chana B'Shiva Banel that mentions how she had seven sons that were all commanded to bow down to the Avodah Zarah. And each one said no to the Melech. And each one was killed. And it came to the last one. And they threw down the ring and said, you should pick up the ring. And he says, what are you being such a fool for? What do you think that I'm going to bow down to you? And he says, I'm going to kill you. And he killed him. And right before the last one was taken to be killed, Chana says to the youngest son, he says, go tell Avram Avinu, Atar rachto akida achas mizbeach echod, v'ani rachti shiva mizbeachos. Go tell Avram Avinu that you were Urich one Mizbeach and I was Urich seven Mizbeachos. So Kimduman is Rav Chaim Volozhin says, what was she trying to do? Say, I'm better than Avram Avinu? What was she trying to, I'm one up on you? She was saying, no, fakert, it was in your zchus that I had the yecherlis to do it. Once you were Moiser Nefesh, once you were Urich Mizbeach Achat, once you showed and were willing to be Moiser Nefesh for the Ribbono Shel Olam, to give up a child for the Ribbono Shel Olam, that gave the koyach to all of the future generations to be able to do that. The midas, Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gimlech Chasadim, this comes from the Avos. These midas come. Whatever midas the Av has, he's able to bequeath to his future generations. And certainly, the Avram Avinu, I would think that that's Pashup Shad in Ein Avos Ela Shlosha. When you say that, Gemara in Bracha says, Ein Avos Ela Shlosha, that there's only three people that are referred to as Avos, Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. With regard to what? With regard to the Ma'is Avos Simul Abanim, that they were able to be kaveya with their Ma'is and what's going to happen to the future generations, they were the Avos, and they're the ones that their Tchunos, their Midos, are passed on to the rest of the generations. The Mela, that's the Tchuna of a Yid is, Am Levodet Yishkoin, that Kol Ha'ilu Mitzad Echad Vonu Me'Ivra Hasheni. Everybody's on one side, and we're on the other side. There was a Ma'is that Sohr Yaakov Glinsky brings out, that a group of Boigre Yeshivas Mir in Europe got together and they wanted to have a kvutza of working avad to be work on inyanim midas and avodas Hashem. And they sent to Rabbi Yeruchim, they said, please be madrichos. They were already out of the mirror. And they sent a letter to Rabbi Yeruchim, please be madrichos. So Rabbi Yeruchim writes back, He says, "Betzem, you leave your day in Maris Nafshe." Every person knows what they have to work on themselves. Nobody likes to hear that. In any of these situations, Corona, this, everybody knows what they have to work on. No, tell me what to work on. It's very hard to tell you what to work on because everybody has something else to work on. But Lamaisa, everybody deep down really knows it's, to a certain extent, even though it's hard to hear, certainly hard for myself to hear such a thing. I can't speak for others. Everybody knows that it's just an excuse. Everybody knows what they have to work on, and they just, until somebody else tells me, then I don't know. So therefore, since no one can tell you, because no one knows, then you don't know if it's an escape hatch to be able to get out of having to work on it. But Lamaisa, everybody knows, Levi there, Maris Nafshe, what to work on. However, that's in Protius. Bechlolius said, Rabbi Ruchim, I'll be madrich you. What did David HaMelech say to Shlomo HaMelech when he was, right before his nifter, son is becoming, 12-year-old son, Shlomo HaMelech is becoming the Melech HaYisrael. And he tells them, what is tzava? Vechazakto vehoyisa le'ish. You mechazik yourself, vehoyisa le'ish. What does it mean, vehoyisa le'ish? Ish means a strong character, ishiyut. A person has a strong character, you're driven, you have a goal, and you're driven to do it. That's what an ish is. It says in Megillah, Lasses kirtzen ish ve'ish. They made a mishteh, and v'ashtiyok hadas ein reines, kichin tziva melech, Lasses kirtzen ish ve'ish. Who's ish ve'ish, say Chazal? Ish ve'ish means Mordechai and Haman. Svekta b'chatzka, I don't understand. How many people were there? The mishteh was for a tremendous amount of people. What do you mean? The only two people, when it says ish ve'ish, there's only two people there? He says, yeah, in the entire mishteh, there was only two people. Everybody else was Ke'eder achar anag, achar roya. Everybody else was just following the leader. But the leaders, there's two people that were totally driven to one goal. That was Mordechai and Avodas Hashem, and stopping them from coming. And Haman, in Kenega that, to get everybody to be Nechshel. They were the two people driven, and everybody else was on the side. They just followed along. They just went with the flow, cruise control, whatever it is. But there's only two people. A person has to be somebody that has a goal. He's driven. He knows what he wants. He's going to do it. We heard yesterday by the Siyum that Rav Shiva said that when they were in Shanghai, the Mir was in Shanghai, so they were getting bombed. They said there was like 300 pagazim kol yom. There's a tremendous amount of bombs that were going off. They were being bombed. So what they thought to do was everybody should disband. They were in the city. They'll go to the different villages on the side, which was less populated and probably a less of a chance that they were going to get bombed. And that way they'll break up the yeshiva and everybody go to their own little place and they'll be safe. Reb Chatzkel said that the Medrash Tanchuma Noyach says that there's two yeshivas that are going to be saved from, that they never had a mochoma, and they're going to be saved from Ra'av, from Mochoma, and from Mavis, and from all the other things. And he says, I was choiker, and I came to a conclusion that the yeshiva's mirror is one of those two yeshivas. And it's going to last till Mashiach comes. He says, we're one of these two yeshivas, and we're going to be saved from Mochoma. However, that's only if we're mechazik in what a yeshiva is, to sit and learn. He says, if we're going to disband, then we're not going to be able to do that. He says, this is what the yeshiva said. He said, Rabbi Chatzkel, alive al ktefai. He says, with my achrayas, to come to stay here in the yeshiva Beis Medrash and learn. Agav, Mar Muzgo, that's what we're doing here. It's alive al ktefai of the gedolim that we're here, right now. I think that's a little bit what the yeshiva was trying to promise to. But that the sakana is so much greater not to be together, not to be shtagging and learning. Everybody has their limudim, even when they're in the villages, and even when they're home and v'chulu. But when the limud is here together, it's a whole under limud. But that's when Chatzkel was able to. He understood. He came to a conclusion, and he took a chrayis. He took a chrayis for 400 people that were learning there in the Beis Medrash. He took a chrayis for the hundreds of people who could do that. Who could take the chrayis for so many? Says, but only when somebody. I saw once. Reb Shach said. He said about the Chofetz Chaim. He said the Chofetz Chaim was asked so many questions his entire life about, especially World War I and all the years in between. There was tremendous amount of achrayas that was placed on his plate. People asked him, where should the yeshivas go? Where should his families go? Should they move Bechlal by the Depression? Should they go to America? He had to answer people's questions, life and death, all the time. He says, who has the achrayas to do such a thing? Anybody that answers so many life and death questions is either a regular person that does it, is either a shaita or a tzayach. He's either a shaita that he thinks he could answer such questions, or he's a pashut or a tzeach. He doesn't realize what type of achrayas he has.
And the Chofetz Chaim did it time and time and time and time again. How did he do it? He says, because it all came from the Torah. So it comes from the Torah, so then you have the answer to it. The Torah is the answer to all the questions. Machkim Aspesi, that's the answer. And Echanam wasn't his own Kayach. It was the Kayach HaTorah. But that means that he came, Rabbi Chatzko came to this decision. He was an Ish. He was able to come to a decision of what he wants to do. But Kol Olam Me'ever Acher, everybody's telling him that maybe this is a dangerous thing. Nevertheless, he did it because he realized that this is what the thing is, that's the thing to do. So Galinsky says that the Panovich Rav once came over to me, he says, the Gemara in Brachas, Mr. Hashem, we'll see it soon, the Vav says that a Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to Beis HaKnesses and he doesn't find a minion there. Miyad Koyes, Shenemar, Madua, Basi Ve'inish, Kerasi Ve'inoina. So he says, I don't understand. When it says when a Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to Beis HaKnesses and doesn't find a minion, how many people did he find? Doesn't make a difference. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He didn't find the minion. But the Pasuk says, Madua Karasi, Madua Basi Ve'inish. There's not even a single person. It's mashma that if there wouldn't be a minion but there were 9 people, then it wouldn't be Kayas. How do you understand the Gemara, the Raya from the Gemara? Marshall talks about it. So he said, I'll tell you Pshat. He says that Madua Basi Ve'inish means that there's no Ish, there's nobody to take the initiative. There's no person that's driven to make the minion happen. That means that even if you have 9 people, but none of the 9 people is an Ish, then Behelim the Haftacha of the Baal Shem Tev, that anytime they have 9 people, you always get a minion. Even if you have the 9 people there, if you don't have an Ish as one of the 9 people, you're not going to have the minion. As opposed to, if you have one person, and the person is an Ish, Madu Abasi Ve'in Ish, there's not even a single person that's an Ish. If there be even one person that's an Ish, he'd make sure that there's a minion there. So that's the Nekuda of a person being driven to what he needs to do, and not worrying about the naysayers. You're not going to get a minion. It's already late at night. What are the chances? No, you'll make it happen. And I think that's maybe the miuchad for Rachel Yemenu and the Rosh Yeshiva, the yahrzeit of Rachel Yemenu and the Yeshiva, is Rachel Yemenu did something that had she asked anybody else, Lachar, they would have told her absolutely not. She gave away her entire future, the entire Klal Yisrael Be'etzem. She didn't know when she gave this imanim to Leah that she was going to marry Yaakov Avinu. At that point, she gave away her entire future. The entire future of all of Klal Yisrael. Everything that she should have had. She should have been the sole mother of Klal Yisrael. She gave away everything. Why? Because one time her daughter, her sister is going to be embarrassed. How long would the embarrassment would have been? How long would it have been? She'd be embarrassed. Poseidon. One person embarrassed for a long time. What would it be? She gave away everything. All of Klal Yisrael. The whole reason, the whole purpose of the Bria. Voracious, Israel, Yisrael, Shanika, Voracious. She gave away everything. She would have asked anybody. I could almost guarantee you that anybody would have said not to do it. But she did it because she realized that this was the right thing to do. Not to be embarrassed somebody. And we're still reaping the schar today. That's the gula shleim is going to be in her schar. The same thing with the Rishiva Zatzal, Rav Nosson Tzvi. Like I heard from Rav Nachum Stillerman, he told me he once went to Rav Nachum, the man with the plan. So we used to sit when we were in Er Gavril together, pre-Corona days. We sat together with Rav Nachum Stillerman. He was part of the Chabur for the past many, many years. Didn't actually learn with us, but he was sitting there. And he once was telling me that when he made this plan, he first went to Rosh Hashiva. And he told me he had a plan to finish Masechah Shabbos and Chazir a few times. Shiva said to him, that's what your plan is? Make a plan to finish Shas. He was already about 70 years old at the time, Kinahar, on May of Esther. And he made a plan, and it's a plan not just for Shas, but for Musa Sfarim and for other things and Halacha. Everything is Chazring yesterday. It's like the Chavar Shas, Chazring everything 5 times. I saw his booklets, if anyone saw his booklets, there's a booklet with like, I don't know, 500, 600 pages of every single day for the next 20 years or something, that how many things he's going to do. Kitzur, he went with it to the Rosh Yeshiva, Zatzal, and he showed it to him. So the Rosh Yeshiva says, oh, he says, that's a plan. That's a plan. He says, but how am I going to do it, Rosh Yeshiva? How am I going to do this? He says, Rosh Yeshiva says, he picked up his tablecloth. And underneath the tablecloth were plans for another building. And he shows Rav Nachum the plans and he says, and how do you think I'm going to do this? Does he have the koyach to do this? I don't have the koyach. He had Parkinson's for many years. He had money. Money, Yeshiva Smir never had such a tremendous surplus that I can remember to make another building. But it's not me. It's what the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants. And if it's Rebbeinu Shlomo wants, then with the Rebbeinu Shlomo you can do whatever you want. If you're driven and you have it, then even though people, all the naysayers that say, no, you can't do it, but Lamaisa, you'll do it, not worrying about everybody else. You'll do what's right, and you'll do what you feel is right. If a person is driven, I just saw a quote from somebody that a visionary is somebody is 3% of the population who creates 66% of the jobs. That they have an idea, but every person met them as a visionary. Every person has some sort of dream of what he thinks he should do. I'll just speak about two of them that I came across in the past 24 hours. Ben Azdarim, I was speaking to my aunt, she's in her 80s, and she was telling me about her grandmother, who lived in America. I think she was in Canada at the time. She remembers her, so it's about 75 years ago. And she says, Bubby, she covered her hair. She wore a shetel. She says the shetel that she wore, you would throw it to the dogs nowadays. No one would even look at it. It's mamish looks like straw. But in those days, she did it. Everybody thought that she was crazy. Everybody called her mitzarechon hivei rasheni. That's not the difference. You do it where it's right, and the whole island, you can fight on the whole island. The second story happened last night. I met a yid, was davening for the Omid. We were waiting for a minion. We had 9 people. Baruch Hashem, we got the 10th person. He was ish. And we're just making hekerut, getting to know each other. So he asked me what my name is. I asked him what his name is. So I said, where are you from? So he says, where am I from? So, Borough Park, originally from Borough Park. But that was a long time ago, 30 years ago. He says, I was one of those people also. 30 years ago, I came to learn for a year. My parents sent me for a year. And they said, after a year, you come back and you go to college. The kids are 30 years ago, I learned for a year. And after the year, I said, maybe just one more zman. One more zman. After that, it's just an el zman. You don't mind, right? Sure, no problem. After el zman, just one more zman. Just one more zman. Says, I'm still doing it 30 years later. Just one more zman. I don't know if he's learning or not. But he's still learning. So it's very similar to the mice with the stipler that everybody knows. 5 minutes, just another 5 minutes with the code on the tree. Just another 5 minutes. If you're driven to do it, then just another 5 minutes. Everybody else, and where you come from, and your parents and your grandparents think you should be going to college and v'chulum. If you're driven to do it, then you'll do it. Everybody's got their story. Everybody's got their naysayers. Somebody that's driven to do it is going to do it without the naysayers. And I would suggest, and I would say that possibly the biggest naysayer is very often the person himself. And a person, even if he has many, many reasons to say no, if he's got the one reason to say yes, then just take the one reason to say yes. I once was speaking to Rav Asher about doing something. And I said, I don't know if to do it. I'm not sure that it's Lashem Shemayim, even if I would do it. He says 1%. Is it 1% Lashem Shemayim? 1%? I think I can say it's 1%. Go for it, he says. Go for it. That's what you tell yourself, and that's what you tell everybody else. You don't have to say it to them. That's certainly what you should do. And you'll be Me'ever Echad, everybody will be Me'ever Hashem.